Hey guys, it's Eric G from Around the House Show. I wanted to introduce you to one of our new sponsors. Monument Grills was founded by three good friends in Atlanta, Georgia, that wanted high-quality, durable grills inspired by iconic monuments. The grills are created for the person who loves to cook and are built to last and to enhance your outdoor cooking experience. What I love is that they are the best quality grills for under $900. So check out the American Gas Grill experts at monumentgrills.com. I bet you'll love to cook on one like I do. Check out the new standard in outdoor cooking at monumentgrills.com. Are you a contractor, landscaper, or small business owner? Did you have a great year in business and are worried about those deductions for your 2024 taxes? Give your accountant a call and check out the trailers from Summit Trailer. If you want the highest quality trailer you can own, they are proudly made here in Oregon with a dealer network in the West Coast. What I love about my Summit trailer is it's a dump trailer that was designed to work. I can load it up without having to worry about if it's going to lift the load, and it pulls like a dream. This was built to work. So it doesn't matter if you want a dump trailer like mine or a deck over, flatbed, tilt bed, or utility trailer. They've got a trailer that'll fit your needs. Invest in your business at the end of 2024 with something you'll feel proud of pulling at the job site or your next project. Check out the best trailer in the West at SummitTrailerMFG.com. Click on the dealer locator to find your nearest dealer at SummitTrailerMFG.com. This is not tax advice, but hey, I bet you still need a trailer at SummitTrailerMFG.com.
Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. This is our April 11th show, hour number one. We have so many things to talk about in hour number one. We don't have any guests in this hour, but what we're going to be talking about is making sure that that outdoor deck is in good condition so when we can all get together and have that summer barbecue, we're going to be good to go and nobody's getting hurt out there. And then we're going to be talking about, window safety. I want to keep those kids inside the house, not falling out those windows. And then we do have a special caller that had called into us this week to ask some basement questions that was a follow-up from last week's show. And we're going to talk about that as well. All coming up to the show right now. I'll quit talking. Let's have some fun.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans. Oh.
Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. Time to put down those power tools and tune on into the fastest home improvement radio show on the weekends. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, what a crazy week it's been. It's been a busy one. You're working, I'm working. There's so much going on, even though with all this stuff that we're not talking about this week. This is another virus-free episode today. We're not going to tell you how to clean because we've done that so much in the past. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. But one fun thing we had, and head over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. We always get a lot of comments over there, but I had a call this week where a listener did not want to go in the air.
Which happens.
Which is awesome. From Reading, PA. WEEU country up there. Thanks, guys. And I spent probably 15, 20 minutes with her on the phone helping her walk through some fairly bad contractor advice.
Ooh.
So she had kind of get everybody up to speed. I think that's a good learning opportunity for people on this one. She'd had somebody come in and give her some advice on the contract. And it was bad advice. It was very extreme for what the situation was. So to tell you the story, she ended up having water in her basement and water was coming in on the heavy rains. She had, downspouts going into, because we talked about last weekend basements and keeping them dry. Hers wasn't. So the downspout tube was going into the ground into a storm drain system and one off to the back of the house, which was lower, to get the water away from the house. Yep. That's how it should be. But she thought that that system was plugged. And she had a contractor come in and say, well, I'd dig up either around the house and do all this waterproofing stuff and maybe dig the basement up and put a system in down there with a sump pump and all these other things. And I said, well, let's dive back a little bit. All of that would work, yes. But it's kind of like saying, I got a little chest pain. And the doctor going, all right, I don't know what that is, but let's do open heart surgery.
Well, and I was going to say, seeing as you said it was down away from the, and as far as elevation goes, down as well. Well, I mean, the sump pump really wouldn't do a whole lot. Gravity's kind of doing the job for you, isn't it?
You want to get it up top and let gravity do it versus having to pay for that, because now you're maintaining a bunch of stuff. That will work. It will pump it out of a low side, get it up and get it out of there. But I told her the first thing I would do out of that whole thing is spend a few $100, have a plumber come out that deals with clogs and run a scope and a snake down through that storm drain system and make sure it works. She goes, well, it's old and it's probably collapsed. And I'm like, until someone tells you that, you don't know. Assume. It could just be jammed up with dirt and leaves and everything else. It just needs to be cleaned out. And then for a few $100, you've got a good chance of solving your problem.
And the system seems like it works fairly well.
It's worked for a long time, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse right now. So usually to me, that tells me, okay, it's an outside water issue that's coming in there. That's the first thing I would tackle. And by chance, it was the lowest cost option of all those things.
Mm-hmm. Good so place why not? To start.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. And if it doesn't, well, guess what? Now you know that it works, and you don't have to worry about that problem. But I told her, too, you know, if that plumber comes out and goes, oh, yeah, this is collapsed in 4 or 5 spots, and it's going to cost $3,000 or $4,000 for a plumber to go through and dig up and replace a bunch of stuff. You can probably have a landscaper come out and do that work for a couple grand and get it done.
And still get it done right.
Yeah, and still have it done correctly, buried in the ground, ABS pipe, that kind of stuff works really well. And you can get it out to an area that's legal for your area and get it gone. So that's our first thing. And I told her, I said, yeah, you can, you know, dig up around that side of the house and put a waterproof membrane on it and keep the water from coming in there because the water was leaking between the wall and the floor. But okay, we kind of just walked through it, and that's the hardest joint to seal down there. You can't just do the new urethane injection where you put this. It's like spray foam. So it goes in like warm honey, and then when it hits moisture, it expands out like spray foam. It's awesome.
Works great.
Works great, but that's really not. And when you have a movable joint like that, that tends to move a little bit, not the best application for that. It's kind of tough to do that. So a sump pump would have worked.
Great question. Really. And hey, if any of you have any questions, please give us a call here in the studio. Our number is 971-233-8992. And that's, if you don't want to go on air, that's fine. We'd love to help you out. And we will talk about your project here on air, but we won't address you by name.
Correct. But it's one of those things that I think this is going to be a similar problem. She's going to give us a call back once she gets it fixed to hear what the story is. But it's one of those that, every time when you deal with these water issues, most commonly it's that surface water that's causing it and not really so much maybe a rising water table. I mean, all those things can happen, but I always grab the easy stuff first.
It's better to eliminate that. That way you're not going to be spending a bunch of money for something you don't need. You can spend a little bit of money for some upkeep, which you probably needed in the first place.
Yeah, she hadn't done anything with it since 1997. I always say clean those out every 5 years if you don't have a ton of leaves and stuff. And she didn't. But all it takes is for some just dirt and, you know, maybe had the roof redone and she had that too. So she had a bunch of different things that could have easily filled that up where that needs to get cleaned out. So that's kind of the first one there. That's one of those.
So we did have another question I kind of wanted to bring up from Facebook. Yeah. We're a big fan of Greenworks Tools. We really love, you know, what they're doing, but we had somebody ask us about repairing and upkeep and being able to replace parts and everything. Is that fairly similar with most other tools?
Here's the thing with Greenworks. It's interesting. Your maintenance is so much less. For instance, with a lawnmower, you know, you've got a spark plug, a gas powered one. You've got a spark plug, you got oil, you've got an air filter. You've got different things that need maintenance as far as the engine. And really with a Greenworks lawnmower, you charge the battery, you wipe it down and clean it up when you're done. And only the really maintenance thing that you got to work with is underneath the deck of the lawnmowers, making sure the blade is clean and that you've cleaned out all the kind of debris from, you know, from the lawnmower underneath there, from the cut grass and stuff. But other than just cleaning off the bottom of it and wiping the thing down and making sure the battery's charged, not it's really that simple. And that's why I like it, because I don't have to have that extra air filter on the shelf, the extra spark plug, you know, the lawnmower blades. One thing, I'm always a big fan of keeping those blades as sharp as you can and balanced and all those things. But to be honest, it's really simple to go through and do that. And for a lawnmower, it's great. Now, if you've got one of the, like a string trimmer, same kind of thing. With those, it doesn't take oil, but you have to have that air fuel mixture, you know, of getting everything tuned up and making it really run right.
Yeah.
And then you got to have the oil and gas mixed together too for the two cycle fuel. And you got an air filter. None of that.
No. That's basically every time you use it, you have to deal with this. And so that's not the case.
Yeah, there's just none of that maintenance stuff. I don't have to worry about taking the fuel out of it. I take the battery out, put it on the charger, take it off the charger when it's done, take it out and use it. So
yeah, I took a look. Anthony, he wanted to know, would you have any insight on how to fix Greenworks mowers? So I have a feeling that we need a little bit more insight into his issue.
I'll be honest, like the brand new one that's sitting about 2.5 feet away from you right now, that one there has a 4-year warranty on it.
Oh, wow. So even if there's an issue, call them. They might be able to just take care of that for you.
They're going to take care of that if you've got a problem with it. So that's the key right there. If you've got a problem with it and it's not working right, get a hold of Greenworks and they'll take care of that on the warranty side. So that's the important part right there. It doesn't really take much to get those things going. And with a 4-year warranty on the new stuff, even if you bought last year's model where they've got some of the different stuff on them, it still has a 2-year warranty. So get a hold of Greenworks. They're really easy to grab them on the net, and you can even message them on Facebook. They will get back with you. Easy people to work with.
Awesome. Yeah, no, just reach out and just let them know your issue, and they might be either, if it's broken, they'll be able to replace it for you, or they'll be able to guide you in the right way.
Absolutely. I'm sure wherever you're located, there's a repair place around there. If not, they're going to get you taken care of. They're good and easy people to work with.
So what are we talking about in the show today, Eric?
All right. Now I know we got off on that one. Yeah, tease ahead with that. So I'm going to get on my soapbox about window safety with kids and that kind of stuff. We are now getting into that time of year where I want to talk about that. And we're going to talk about some deck safety as well. And that's one of those things that I want to make sure that we've got those decks inspected and looking good so we can keep those safe when we put that party back on the deck. We'll do that as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, check us out on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And more importantly, head over to the website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. That is kind of the landing page for everything we do. You can find everything from our online store to get that baseball cap with the logo on it, including even the podcast where you can sign up, subscribe. And a little secret on that, if you want to be the first to get the podcast, if you subscribe there, that is where it is actually originated from. So that way, you're not going to wait that 12, 24, 36, 48 hours that maybe iHeart or iTunes or any one of those other people to populate. So you're not waiting on everybody else. The only person you're waiting on is us two right here. And I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Well, give us a call in the studio, too. We got any questions like that, we're here to help you. So that number is 971-233-8992, 971-233-8992.
You can call us any time of the day, any day of the week. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the night. You're not waking anyone up. Leave us a message. We'll call you back as soon as we can, and we'll answer your questions for you.
That way, if you're a night owl or you're coming back, you know, from heading to the store at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and maybe Portland, Oregon, and you're listening to the replay from midnight to 2 a.m. on technically Sunday morning, you can ask the question while you remember it, and we'll get back to you during what would be somewhat normal business hours.
We'll say somewhat because I mean, if you're going to call us at 2 a.m., don't get mad when we call you at 7.
No, we'll be kind. Just tell us what time. I mean, if you're working nights, just please let us know so I'm not calling you up and waking you up, because that's what's going to happen. All right. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and this is something that we've talked about in the spring every single year, and even more so now with people more inside your home. The weather here, just about everywhere, you know, you're seeing those, you know, the signs of spring coming out.
Starting to hit 70 and sunny. And
You know, you've got that weather popping up all across the country. Kind of the snow's gone in most places. We're getting into that spring, which I love. But the problem is right now everybody's opening up their windows and they haven't protected the kids. So I wanted to go over some quick tips on things to do. Of course, you know, getting window locks and things like that. But there's some things that they recommend that you do around those windows. And it might be in your house. It could be the grandparents' house. Anywhere that your kid's over at, you want to make sure that those windows are good. Because you know something? That's what that Tears in Heaven song's written about by Eric Clapton. Because they didn't have a window lock. And his kid fell out of their high-rise apartment in New York when he went over to pick them up to take them to the zoo. So it can happen to anyone.
Well, and especially now, and I know I'm trying my best not to delve into virus territory here.
Yep.
But with kids, you know, maybe you're homeschooling and then they're in their rooms and they're working on schoolwork, but you're not in there and it gets warm and they want to open up the window. And then next thing you know, one thing leads to another. So this is definitely a safety point we're going to want to hit this year, every year, but especially this year.
This one, there's just because you've got kids staying home many more hours during the day than they were before. It was more of a weekend thing and now it's an everyday thing. So I just wanted to make sure that we touch on this. One of the tricks that I always see people go, oh, I'm going to put a dresser in front of the window. Don't.
That is the absolute opposite of what you're supposed to do.
You want to keep it clear in front of the window so it's harder for them to climb up on it. A dresser, another piece of furniture, is really you're just creating a ladder for them to get up and do it. So take all that stuff away from the window and then just, it doesn't matter if you go to your local Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace Hardware, True Value Hardware Store, wherever, most of them have window locks. And they've gotten a lot better with that. A couple of years ago, I went looking for some when I did that first Mortgage Day Oregon segment. I had to order them online.
Oh, wow. You couldn't even.
There's a few places that just, a lot of places just didn't have them on the shelf. Now I look and I think I've seen them just about anywhere that has a decent hardware store size. They've got it.
Now, my question is, so, I mean, I've seen a lot of those window locks, at least in the stories, working in news, what I've seen is a lot of them are for horizontal windows, windows that move horizontally. Do these same locks move work for vertical windows?
Yeah, a lot of them do. And it's depending on the type of window you have in the frame. It's a little bit harder with some of the wood windows, just because some of those clamps, there's not enough space on the track. Like you've got an aluminum or a vinyl window, you can actually just sandwich that lock around that, and it makes it so it locks it down and it can only open so far. That way you can get a little ventilation, but if somebody came in there, they could actually take that off and open it up if they had to. I mean, it's not going to be the cure-all. If a kid is big enough to open up the lock and remove the lock off there, of course they've now disabled the lock. At that point, they should probably know not to be leaning up against the window.
I was going to say, hopefully they're old enough to realize a dangerous situation, maybe.
Absolutely. So you just want to do that. But I mean, every single year, just on our local market here in Portland, I tell you what, there's always four or five news stories that you and I see every year that are big news stories where I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
It's easily avoidable. And I mean, this is coming from somebody when I was a kid, I would climb up on my dad's dresser. It wasn't near a window, but I wanted to, whatever, see what was on top of the dresser. Guess what happened to me?
Fell over, didn't it?
Yeah, it fell on top of me. And I was too young to be able to push it off. I was stuck there until my dad got home.
Oh, bad story.
Luckily, I wasn't hurt.
Yeah,
but you were trapped. It's a very dangerous situation.
And that's one of those things, too. And I'm gonna double down on that. That's why there's been that big, huge dresser recall that came from IKEA, because they sold dressers. And I'll be honest, those dressers tend to tip over and they're very easy. Well, the short ones aren't as bad, but still, I mean, if you had a toddler running around and the drawer was open and they leaned on the top drawer, it's coming over. So I always say, whether or not you're in an earthquake or if you've got children, always tie those dressers off to the wall. That way you don't have to worry about it, especially those thinner, lighter duty ones, because IKEA is great at making a light duty dresser. But the problem is is that light duty dresser doesn't have the mass. And so when you put a drawer out and put 25 pounds on it,
it's coming over.
It's coming over if you're not careful. So that's the thing you got to be very careful with. But make sure you get that. Window screens do not stop kids. They stop bugs, and that's it. So make sure you've got that dialed in, and then you're going to be good to go. Get enough locks. I mean, spend 50 or 60 bucks, get enough locks for that second floor of the house, you know, or if you've got that first floor with a daylight basement or something like that, just make sure they're dialed in and you're good to go. And you know something? We're going to keep kids a lot safer out there. And if we can reduce that down to none, I'm going to be a happy person. All right, we come back. Let's talk about deck safety. We'll do that just as soon as Round the House returns.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
Pour gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good.
Every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And join Around the House Nation. That's one of those things that be a part of the group and you can have some fun over there. And we're sharing a lot of pictures. You'll see what I'm working on. You'll see what everybody else is working on. It's a fun little closed group that we can have a good time and even laugh a little bit in there too. You'll see some of our funny memes and jokes and videos and DIY disasters and all that good stuff.
We typically post, say, your usual social media, your memes and your jokes and all that. That all goes into our Around the House Nation. We kind of leave that off of Around the House with Eric G. For the most part, if we see something really good, we'll share it out.
Yeah.
But if you want to see a lot of the humor, you want to share your projects, or you have any questions on a project that you're working on, we also have a lot of experts in that group that can give you quite a bit of feedback.
Absolutely. So it's just something to take a look at. Well, I wanted to talk about... thank you, Japan.
Absolutely. We got some good numbers.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was Eddie Ueda last week and us talking about his Japanese history or what, but we came up in the search engines right last week because we hit number one podcast in Japan for Home and Garden. So
that's huge.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was awesome. And, you know, it one of those things that I was really surprised and shocked and, you know, inspired as well just to keep doing better and more wide-ranging shows, and it's like, all right, that was awesome. Now, the U.S. is next. We're chasing that one down.
And we're not far off. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we're consistently in the top 40 bouncing around, so I think our best is about 18 or 19.
Okay.
So, we're working on that.
We can do better.
Oh, yeah. We'll do better. And how can you help us do better? By going on, liking, subscribing, and if you have to pick one of the formats to do it, listen to iTunes. That's probably what helps us the most because they measure that off of iTunes. So that is an Apple iTunes chart. So if you're listening to iTunes, and actually Apple Podcasts now, to be overly specific, but now that they changed, got rid of iTunes and call it Apple Podcasts. But if you listen to Apple Podcasts, that does help us out the most on that. But if you just want to hear it on the website, roundthehouseonline.com as well.
We also just got another tool up and running, did we not?
Yes, we did. The leaf blower is up.
I was going to talk about the skill.
The Alexa skill. I was talking about the new video that we posted up from Greenworks. But we have the Alexa skill out there now. So you can jump on Amazon and enable the skill. So you just want to jump onto your Amazon account. And if you've got one of the Alexa-enabled devices, you can go through and enable that skill, and you're going to hear my daily tip because all you have to do is ask Alexa for the news and she'll play it for you. And that'll be my 1 minute tips that I've been doing on social media. And I'll be doing some special ones just for that as well. So you'll be able to hear them there and kind of having fun with the daily tips. So we've been cranking those out and coming up with some good ones. This last week, some of the ones that were the really hottest ones, it seemed,
we're talking about DIY building of masks.
Yep.
And don't use your furnace filter when you do it.
I had a friend, her name's Jessica, who's been making frames down in California, 3D printing frames, and then sending them off for masks.
Yeah.
And she shared something up on Facebook that a colleague of hers had reached out to 3M to ask if these filters would be good to be used. And 3M said, definitely not.
That was a double hell no.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, and you think about it here, you know, so many... You know, heating air conditioning filters are not meant to go up against your face. So they'll use as a filter medium fiberglass. Well, fiberglass is really bad for your lungs because it doesn't break down. So the last thing you want is fiberglass in your lungs. So it's just one of those things that I want you to be very careful with out there. You know, I always say that you know, those cloth masks are better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. But they're not.
But they and don't be doing your own DIY and trying to use things that are going to hurt you. We're not going to talk anymore about that because that's against the rules. But it was one of the biggest ones, and I'm making the rules on this. There's nobody else telling me that. I'm just like, we've talked more about that. But anyway, just be careful out there with your DIY mask kits out there. Well, I wanted to talk about decks because right now is a time that everybody's getting outside and it's like, all right, it's spring. Get the barbecue fired up. Some of us like me have no problem in the snowstorm. If we get snow, barbecuing. But a lot of people, it's like, all right, it's barbecue cleaning time. Let's get that out. Let's get the leaf blower out and knock all the dirt and dust off it. And let's get some spring cleaning and get the lawn chairs out and let's have a good time. I want you to take a look at that deck before you get to that point.
What are we looking at?
Here's the thing. Average lifespan on a deck that is well-maintained is about 15 years. It doesn't mean in 5 that it can't rot out if you use the wrong wood or even less if you didn't build it correctly, but a well-maintained deck is about 15 before it's like, yep, time to go.
And that's
time
max. For a new one.
Yeah. So that's about where that is. And so what happens is, and it's depending on where you live, if you live in an area where it gets just beat down sun, desert heat, it'll dry rot and start splitting and coming apart and goes that way. If it's here more in like Portland, Oregon, where we're at, it tends to just kind of turn into mush. Now things will get just, the deck starts coming apart.
So I'm always been curious as far as decks go, what takes a bigger beating? Something that's just been hit by the sun year round or something that has different temperate climates where you have wet and you have freezing temperatures and you have hot temperatures?
You know, it's one thing that it'll dry out. And so if you've got a really good finish on there, it'll do pretty well if you've got it. It's the direct sun, of course, on a wood deck that gets those deck boards to come apart. But I'll be honest, in my experience, I think, and I've lived in both climates, and I've done DIY and construction projects in both climates, I've noticed that the wet does more damage if it's not built correctly.
And not maintained.
Yeah, it just gets soft and mushy, and then you lose that structural integrity. But the first thing I want you to do is to get up underneath that thing, especially if it's higher than 3 or 4 feet, and make sure that you've got that deck sill plate where the deck touches the house, that it is lagged with bolts into the studs of the house. And it is in there every single stud. If you can have it there, awesome. If you can have it at least between every floor joist on that deck, I want to see a structural bolt that's going to go from the house into that. There's lots of, I don't want to tell you exactly what kind, because there's a lot of different kinds. There's these power lags, which are structural. There's big lag bolts. All of these things, I want to see that attached, because so many times what happens is you load that deck up with a barbecue and a bunch of people over, and then that pulls away from the house. And that's where you see almost all of the deck collapses. That's kind of the number one failure point that you see, is where that's attached there. Now, you'll have other failure points, but that's kind of the big one right there. And then what I want to do is get out away from the house and take a look at what happens there, because usually you've got a couple posts out there if it's a raised up deck and you've got a beam going across there. I want to make sure that those posts are in concrete.
Not just those little...
Deck blocks?
Yeah, no, those, right?
No, those will pop right over. Those aren't good. And so what happens is I want to see those down into concrete, whether it's in the concrete. I kind of prefer them actually to be bolted up onto a pad because they don't rot as much.
Okay.
You know, when they're in the concrete, you can dig down, put the concrete in, put the post base, which is a metal piece that'll come up and hold that. It's got a bracket, keeps it out of the dirt. So it's going to end up usually in a wet climate lasting a little bit longer.
not as big a deal in the dry, but in the wet climate, it's going to keep it from getting mushy down there and having problems with that. And of course, the proper bracing. After that, I want you to start thinking about the railings. I want you to go around and inspect those railings.
You better have railings.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're over a couple feet, I would say, for me, I like it. If you're over about 18 inches, I think you'd need to start talking about some kind of a decorative railing. It looks good. And there's so many cool railing companies out there. Just make it part of it. You can do lighted ones. Just go for it. You know, check your local building code if you're doing that stuff and let them decide and tell you how that railing needs to go, because it's different in different parts of the country. But more importantly, I want to make sure they're not rotten. I want to make sure that they're safe. I want to make sturdy. Sure and sturdy that you can have somebody leaning over. Because what happens is you lean on it. You're, oh, this is good. It's a little loose, but it's good. It's with the six other people that are leaning off there, hanging over the edge.
After drinking and eating all day.
And eating, yeah. And now all of a sudden you got too much going on there and you got a big problem. So when we come back, I want to talk about a couple other failure points, and then I'll give you a couple other tips as well on where you can get some of this information to do that, because I want to make sure that you go around and do a full inspection, hit the checklist basically, and make sure that you're good to go. That way you've got a deck that's safe, and until late summer, you won't have to go back and do another inspection again.
Something you won't have to worry about.
Yeah, you can knock it off the list. All right, when we come back, more around the house. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And if you've got questions about your projects you're doing, you can social media us, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com, send us a message there, or even better, give us a call in the studio at 971-233-8992.
My goodness, we got to wrap up this first hour.
We do. Let's get it knocked out.
Went by quick.
It did. So here's the thing. When you're talking about a deck, I want to make sure that everybody's building out of the right materials. Now, materials can be somewhat regional, because you want to have a wood product or a composite that's going to work well with your climate. Now, here's the thing. When I've seen people have gone down and bought the regular white wood 2x4s, the hemlock fir, whatever.
It doesn't even matter what it is.
Oh, the problem is that stuff, and I trust me, because I had a landlord that did this one time. It makes for a horrible deck. He built the whole frame out of pressure-treated wood like you should have, mm-hmm. and then topped it with just regular 2x4s and painted it. It did not last very well. That stuff turns to mush really quickly.
It's not soft.
It is. It's not meant for that kind of wood exposure. I mean, cedar's soft in many cases, and it just holds up so much better.
Yeah.
So depending on what you're doing, I'll be honest, out there, and I know I'm going to make some wood aficionados mad, but I'll be honest, I'm a composite deck person for maintenance. I'm tired of having to restain a deck every 2 or 3 years. Using the best finishes, if you've got that traffic pattern, it just ends up wearing.
It doesn't matter.
Nah, I just tired of staining decks. And so for me, I'm a composite guy. And considering the composites have come so far, I mean, you've got some out there all the good ones are wrapped fully now. They don't have the fading problems that they've had and some of the other issues. You can make sure when you put it down that you can even do a waterproof deck if it's on a second level and you want to create a space underneath it. There's some companies out there that have trough systems, which I'm not a big fan of, but there's even this little T rubber molding that goes between the composite deck boards.
Okay.
And it's like a seal in between each one of those. And so the water doesn't come down through.
That's great. It allows for a sheltered space down below that you probably wouldn't have normally.
Absolutely. So now you got a place for an outdoor kitchen or all that other stuff. So there's a lot of different solutions out there. And then one of the tricks that I want to talk about if you're doing deck repairs, though, before we go out to break here in a few minutes, I want to make sure that you're talking about, you know, like you've let's say you're going to put new composite decking down in the frame. And we are going to get an interview here once we get out of this quarantine type situation right now with Dr. Dex, who is...
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. I've talked to him multiple times, and every single trade show that we end up crossing paths on, we're going to do it. I'm going to head up and go up to Tacoma, Washington, and I'm going to go up and do it. He's got a... we'll head up there for a day trip and go see him because he's got a shipping container studio that we're going to do the podcast from. Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. But one of his tricks that I've always watched him do is that he sits there and takes that basically that waterproofing butyl, kind of like what almost like what FlexWrap is in the DuPont or their straight flash. It is a flexible flashing, so it's a rubber like membrane.
Okay.
So when you put a screw through it, it seals around that screw. Because what happens is, especially in rainy areas where we are, when you put a screw down through that deck board into the 2x4, not 2x4, 2x10, 2x12, whatever is below it, that screw goes down. That leaves a hole for water to get into. So water gets down there. It's an instant rot spot. And so that's one of those first places to break down. You'll see in 2x4s, you know, when you have something in the side of that where you've got that penetration and water sits on it, it just goes down and rots the inside out. And so any of that 2x material will rot out on it. So it's one of those things that I always want people to see and pay attention to, because it's one of those things that that little detail, which can take you a couple hours to go through and do that, and maybe a couple $100 in materials, can make that deck frame last twice as long by just waterproofing it.
Well, and I would almost say, not taking into account the deck collapsing, coming away from the house,
yeah,
that rot on the inside that you don't see is probably one of the most dangerous things about a deck that's not up to par.
It is. And that's one of those things, you know, and especially with staircases and everything else, you know, other than the hand railings, you got to watch out for that rot. And if you can stop it from happening, you're good to go, man. And that's the beautiful part of that, is that's one of those safety things. And just take the time. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that and having somebody out, or you got questions, always just hire an expert to come out. There's plenty of inspectors out there. Home inspectors will come out and do a really good look at that and make sure. And worst case, you put another deck on it. It's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than having somebody get hurt. And it's just one of those things that I really want to make sure you're good. Now, coming up here in the next hour, we've got Devon from The Art of Construction, Devon Tilley. It's going to be a lot of fun. He's got a good program he's doing. I was on his podcast. Now he's coming on our show. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. And you know something? I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around the House.
Thanks for listening to the Round the House with Eric G podcast. We really appreciate you listening. Now, one more thing to do. Subscribe to the podcast, or just go in and leave a review so we can have some great comments to share with other people. And in the future, we're going to start putting these in the end of the show right here so you can catch them out as well. We really appreciate all of you listening to the show. Make sure you tune in all week long to AroundTheHouseOnline.com, or just head us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. See you on Wednesday when we do the midweek special. Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.